Hello, and welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast, where each episode we share actionable strategies for amping up your real estate marketing game. And now, here's your host, Dave Cole.
And we welcome you into this edition. My name is Dave Cole, Marketing Director with First in Promotions, Real Estate Specific Marketing and Advertising, and joined as always by social media experts, Scott Winteroth. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Dave. How are you? Thank you so much for the introduction. And as always, pleasure to be on this Real Estate Focus podcast with you. Now, question. I think today we're going to talk about direct mail strategies. Give us the rundown on how they work and how they don't.
All right. Let's do that. Yeah, direct mail is certainly a part of it. And I know there are those for and those against and all kinds of things, but do want to talk about how it goes, you know, with regard to real estate. It's not always, oh, I'll just send some mailers and, you know, hope it works. And no, it's not much of a response rate. It's more, you know, something like everything else that you have to calculate out. And it's, you know, it might be one or two postcards out of hundreds or even thousands that you send, but that's that, you know, respond, but that's the reason that you're doing it. So I think there's a couple of things that apply not only to real estate that we'll go through briefly and then get to some of the more real estate specific strategies. And that is that, of course, the forms of direct mail, there's the letter where somebody's got to open the envelope and it might be one page or two pages or three pages, or there's the postcard. And so the just for a little bit on both, that if you send a letter, or that's kind of what they consider it, where somebody's got to open up the envelope, fewer people will open the envelope, but of those that do, it's usually a better percentage that will respond. So that means they're taking the time to look at it, they're interested, they're going to keep reading. So it may depend on exactly what it is you're mailing. With the postcard, granted, there's less of a chance it's going to be retained, but whoever it is that receives it, they're going to look at the message. And so that's the thing. The postcard might be more for branding or getting that quick message out or hopefully something that they would want to retain. But that's a couple of ways to look at it. And oftentimes with direct mail, a 1% response rate is considered pretty good. Some cases you get more. If you get less, it might be a cause for concern, but that's where also direct mail can become a matter of numbers on occasion. So you may think, wow, 1%. So if I send out 500 postcards, then I'm going to maybe get 5 responses, and that's considered good. And people sit there and think, you know, is it worth it for that to happen? On the other hand, that percentage stays the same. So if you were to send that postcard to 5,000 people, then you might get 50 responses, give or take. Now, the way to look at it is out of those 50 that do respond, whether it's by calling or emailing or jumping online or going to an event or whatever the case might be, of that 50, even if you get, you know, 20% that actually go through and amount to something, that would be 10 people, or in the case of real estate, 10 leads you have for maybe a possible buyer, seller, or investor. And as it usually goes, of those 10, even if you convert on 30%, then you just got 3 deals, which hopefully would more than make up for mailing the 5,000 cards or letters. So that's just a way to look at it, that a lot of it has to do with the volume. So that's general for direct mail. As far as it goes to real estate, again, it's a matter of you want to kind of target your mailing list. It could be a list that you have from your database, from gathering names over the weeks, months, and years that you've been in the business. It could also be a list that you purchase. There are mailing houses, and I've actually worked with several over the years to help people, so I'm not tied in with any one, that will do anything from just rent or sell you the mailing list on up to printing and mailing and putting the postage on and doing like the whole, you know, everything you need. So ideally, you would just want to hire or pay an outside company for whatever you need for them to have, you know, to have done. You might want to look into, if you're going to be renting or purchasing a mailing list, that you can get very specific these days. So it may depend on what your specialty is. If you're, you know, you market to medical professionals, there are things like a list of doctors who invest in certain cities across the country, or whatever it might happen to be. If you're looking to sell, you know, condos on the North Shore, then you might be looking at the zip codes of kind of indicative of the maybe the income level that would be a good candidate to purchase the condos that you're selling. So if it's $500,000 upscale condos, you might want to get a mailing list of households, let's say with incomes of $200,000 a year or higher, in certain zip codes that would be a good match for where you're looking to sell the condos. So it's things like that that you can do to help target your audience. You can get the lists in hundreds or in thousands, and also with the mailer yourself to be sure that you have something that you want to promote or sell. A little bit above branding. So you might not want to do a, hi, I'm such and such, I sell, you know, I buy and sell, because then there's no reason for anybody to respond. There's not really an urgency in the call to action. Well, I'm not looking to buy or to sell right now. They're not likely to keep the postcard or the letter. So you want to have it be a little bit more specific. For example, it could even be topical. It could be about the properties. It could be something topical relating to the area, the farm area that you specialize in. So it might even be something about, you know, maybe a local school or one of their sports teams or competitive teams won a championship, or something where they've, you know, gotten some kind of an award or recognition, where you send a card with your name and your picture and you're congratulating, you know, Western High School on their win in the spelling bee competition or the statewide this or that, and then just be kind of associated, because then you're associated with the area. Or if you have some type of slogan that the school, let's say, is located in East Springfield, you could say, hey, congratulations, Western High School, on whatever it is, and then have your name, maybe your photo underneath it, saying that, you know, we've sold 5 million homes in East Springfield in the last 10 years, or just something to kind of tie yourself in. And if you've even got maybe a photo of the school or just something in that postcard to go along with the recognition, you think about it. Parents that have students that are going there now or even will be going there, they're more likely to save that postcard. It's something to put up on the bulletin board. Hey, look what our school did. And your name's going to be right there with it. So just, again, one of the things to talk about. Another idea is, again, for your farm area or for the right demographic, age group, area, the audience you're looking to reach. And this is a strategy, I guess it might be considered a little bit on the controversial side, but I've seen it done and have seen it be very effective, and that is the just sold card. Now, you may think, okay, yeah, I do that all the time. I've got a listing and, you know, I always put the word out, but this could be a just sold card that it doesn't say that you, as the agent, are the one that sold that property. So it could be you go through the MLS or the different listings, find maybe the higher priced homes that have sold in your zip code, your neighborhood, your farm area, and maybe list three or four. And so it's the idea of just sold, and it might be four different three-bedroom, two-bath homes that have sold within the zip codes that you're sending those postcards to, and then your name and phone number. So you're not saying you're the one that sold those houses, but what it does is it lets people know in the area where they can say, wow, look what three-bedroom homes are getting in this area. Honey, should we think about, and so forth and so on. Maybe they didn't think it could get $299,000 or whatever the case might be. So kind of an awareness campaign. And again, the idea is that the content of your postcard or letter of your mailing, that it should be something that you know, you can kind of be associated with. So if and as the information has some appeal to them and they want to save or react to the postcard, your name, your contact information is tied in with it. You should also have your call to action on your mailer. And by that we mean, you know, what do you want the people to do? Yes, you want them to call you to buy or sell your house or whatever the case might be. But I mean, it's what's the next step. So you may want to offer, even if you're doing some type of a recognition card, a free report, a free home analysis, you know, a free ticket to the movies if they call you by Thursday, whatever the case might be. You'd want to have your phone number on there. Your website, if it's something that's maybe it's just your site, to put on there, something that will get them to your information. You can ask them to, follow you on Twitter, like you on Facebook, things like that, but just make it easy for them to reach you. And just to clarify and pick up on that point a little bit is that if you're going to have your website on there, be sure that it's a unique website. So if you put www.examplerealty.net/John Smith, there's going to be people that are just going to type in the name of the company website, if they even do it, and you've lost that lead. But if you're doing the, you know, johnsmithsellshomes.net, and I'm just using .net and sites that don't really exist because that's just to make the point, by the way. But if it's something where then they're going to get to you, or if it's, you know, NorthShoreCondos.biz or that type of thing, then anybody that types in that site is going to get the information that you have on the website. I've also seen it, and granted, this is not direct mail per se, but again, to be thinking about your direct mail as part of your campaign. If you are going to guide people to a website or to like you on Facebook or to follow, have something on that website or on Facebook or on your telephone greeting, if you're doing something where you really want them to call, that kind of acknowledges, oh, if you're calling about the postcard, we have this, that, or the other. Or as seen on, you know, if you got our postcard, you know, click here, or just some kind of a way to kind of reinforce. So, you know, you think about it in your, you know, everyday consumer life, you'll see, you know, maybe a sale ad in the newspaper or online or a coupon, and you go into the store, you kind of want to see that, oh, it's regularly, you know, $29.99. Oh, here, $20 with coupon, and you've got the coupon. You just want that reinforcement that this is the item you came to the store for. You went onto a website to order. So that's what you can do, even though they're not going online to buy a house that you advertised on the postcard. It's not really a purchase situation, but just thinking in terms of that same reinforcement, that's what you want to do with your consumers. So your idea with direct mail, yes, you want them to respond. And when they do, you know, you want to kind of make sure you reinforce it. If they're not going to immediately respond, the hope is that there is some information on the postcard or inside that envelope that will at the very least make them want to save that information, maybe to use at a point in time. If they do not save it, such as on the postcard, then at least you know they've kind of seen your message, your quick call to action. So then it becomes, oh, okay, I don't need John Smith's website, but at least you've just said the name John Smith. I mean, at least accomplish that by the direct mail, so that even though your response rate may be 1%, at least of that remaining 99%, doing it effectively, maybe 30, 40, 50% of the people that see it will at least remember. It's the story about it becomes an advertising impression. You read this in the advertising world that they say it takes, even with commercials, and this is what advertisers are told when they're advertising on TV, radio. Once upon a time in newspapers, it takes an average of 7 impressions for an advertisement to sink in. So So you want your direct mail to, if nothing else, be an impression. Maybe they've seen your postcard and the next morning they see your ad on a billboard going down the street, or they see one of your banner ads online or something on a local website. Not that you have to do all this to do direct mail, but again, it's part of the idea of that you want to be everywhere that they're looking. So maybe the, you know, couple down the street that's thinking of selling their house, maybe on the way home they, you know, heard a radio ad for your company, or they looked up and saw a billboard or something that got their attention and your company's name is in their mind. They come home, oh, what came in the mail today? Open up the mailbox and wow, here's that message in a postcard right there in your mailbox. So also think of it with regard to not only for after the fact to reinforce their interest in following up, but maybe even as kind of like another reinforcement that your direct mail can become in order to get them to do that. And just along those points, Scott, I know, you know, you're on this as our social media expert, but I'm sure, you know, you've had experience with using social media not only to maybe reinforce a direct mail campaign, but oftentimes to set it up, there might be a, hey, watch for our postcard type thing.
Well, I think that sort of to buckle off some of the digital aspects that I would sort of always, and first of all, I'm very much for direct mail because ultimately I agree with what you said. And I've heard this before too, that, you know, it usually takes seven different impressions to sort of get someone to recognize your brand, right? Or that you exist. And that could be a billboard, that could be direct mail, that could be social media, that could be search, that could be all kinds of stuff, right? So I look at direct mail as the tip of the funnel, that sometimes you need direct mail to get people to fall into your conversion, website conversion funnel, or your lead gen campaign. So it's important. And ultimately, I've seen some really good stuff over the years where they have what they call pearls, or personalized URLs that you can put onto the, like with a digital or offset printer. I don't know, I don't remember the difference, but with one of those types of printers, you can have it where like the printer can put johnsmith.yourrealty.com as the URL. So in the John Smith would be the customer's name or the customer's address or something like that. That way they may be more interested in clicking on that link because that address is something that they think is like, it's like theirs, right? So they're like, oh, this is our house URL. So we should see what it looks like or something like that. So I don't know how effective that is today. That's been around for a while, but that is something I've seen before. Also, ultimately, I think really what's important is that, you know, whether it's on search, whether it's on social, whether it's physical, print, digital, whatever, you know, it's like you really need to own your space. And ultimately having, whether you own their space on search engine results, whether you own social media, whether you own their mailbox, you want to be the person that's in front of them all the time. And when they have the need, they know who to call. And the one thing I like about direct mail is that, well, I mean, a lot of it gets, unfortunately, you're right. I mean, it's like sometimes that's like 1% that actually converts. But you never know who like takes that postcard and gives it to someone else who, you know, says, oh, hey, you might be interested. I just heard yesterday you're thinking about selling. Oh, I just got this postcard today. What do you know? You know, you just never know. And that's always an opportunity. And ultimately, I think direct mail is probably one of the cheapest sort of traditional marketing things you can do that's still relatively effective. So, I think it's a win. And ultimately, like you said, you know, you can say, oh, as seen in your mailbox or as seen from this postcard, or there's lots of messaging opportunities when it comes to sort of creating an overall campaign, like conversion campaign, where maybe the campaign starts with the postcard. The postcard sends them to a landing page on your website. The landing page on your website gets them to enter their email address, and then bingo, you've got a lead. Email and phone, and then you got a lead you can follow up with. Or if anything, you can see if you have that personalized URL on the postcard, you can see, oh, well, Kathy K went to her personalized landing page. Therefore, she maybe didn't convert, but hey, a little bit of research and a little bit of a little bit of elbow grease, and I can find out that they went on the website. So I'm going to give them a call directly and see if there's anything I can help them with, kind of thing. And that would be sort of another strategic way that you can use direct mail to get leads, even if they don't necessarily convert into an actual email or phone call.
Yeah, exactly. And also picking up on that, Scott, is that some of the more, I guess I'll say, advanced direct mail companies will, in addition to the customized website aspect of it, have been able to incorporate technology that wasn't there 10 years ago and 20 years ago into direct mail, mm-hmm. where the direct mail, where it'll pick up the address and the different information to obviously change each postcard or letter on the envelope in terms of the addressee, have been, especially with postcards, that in addition to being able to obviously change the name and the specific street address and at some point, you know, the zip code and the information so that each postcard gets to the proper destination, some of the mail houses are able to make that type of change and have a field on both sides. So one example, and this was for a real estate investor group that I did some work for last year, and even though this is for investors, this will get the idea across. They actually were looking to buy houses in all different price range, and were sending mailers to people that were under a possible tax lien, where in other words, if they weren't able to pay their back county or city taxes by a certain date, they would risk having their house foreclosed on because of that tax debt. Mm-hmm. So what they did in order to be able to send postcards to, you know, areas with a lot of tax liens, but with prices across the board, was they were able to put in a field, in other words, a number that would change for each postcard, enter in the data of what approximately what that, you know, each individual property might owe in taxes, and one postcard formatted the same would be, if you owe less than $30,000 in taxes, contact us, we can help. But the house down the street that also had a possible tax lien, their postcard said, if you owe less than $5,000, to contact us. So this way they were able to take a field, just like the address or the zip code, enter in the amount that each property may owe on its taxes, and I'm just being concise with the story, mm-hmm. and be able to make that a more customized card using the same look, the same printing, the same mailer, and basically the same entity to be able to produce that for them. So putting it over on the real estate side, for what those of you listening for the most part might be looking at doing, you might be able to use the same mailer and say, you know, we have, you know, condos starting at $100,000, and then a different zip code, you might say we have them starting at $150,000, even though it's the same formatted card or letter and from the same mailer. So yeah, that's going to cost a little bit more, but that might be or is likely to be more economically feasible for you than doing a separate mailer for each of those zip codes, because the pricing or some of the conditions are different. So you could even change and say, we do 4-bedroom houses to, you know, people on your mailing list that have large families, or we do 1-bedroom houses if it's people, you know, that are by themselves, whatever the case might be. I just want to get the idea out there that, also to ask, as you're talking to the direct mail houses or maybe even freelancers or people that do this, those are things to ask about, because that could save you money in the long run. So again, just something to be kind of thinking about and be preparing for your plan. And it's also sometimes even to just be maintaining your mailing list, if it is yours or one that you've bought or even rented, maybe be adding and subtracting as, you know, names or people convert, take them off the list so that they don't get mailers that you're looking for their business when you've already got it. But again, it's a matter of being prepared, but it's also the, you never know. There may be some big deal that goes through, some house that sells down the block that's going to get the market going crazy. You also may want to be ready and know that with a moment's notice, you could send something out right away, because there's sometimes you have to strike while the iron is hot. You hear of some transaction, and boy, if you could press a button and have 500 people on your mailing list know about it, you could be in pretty good shape. So that's also something that, you know, you could actually do with direct mail pretty quickly. Granted, online is quicker and social media, but still, again, think about that reinforcement and all the possibilities that you've got.
Yeah, I think that too. It's just, you know, just like social media, though, you can't send one mailer and expect it to produce great results. You have to test, you have to try different strategies, and you have to do it a little bit, be willing to sort of take calculated risks in order to really gear return on investment to get more than 1% conversion, to get those multiple branding impressions, and just really spend some time testing it and or working with someone who can help you do it, who has experience doing it. I mean, that's really the best thing. I mean, if you're going to go out there, a lot of people like to do it yourself, which I love, and I help. I think that's great. But ultimately, sometimes it's worth investing in someone who knows how to do this, hands down. You know, and that's sort of a plug for Dave, but but doesn't have to be. So yeah.
All right. Well, I wasn't going to stop you, but anyway. Appreciate that. So, all right, our time is about winding down, so we will let everybody go so you can start planning your direct mail. But, Scott, great information as usual, and we will catch you on the next edition.
All right, Dave, that sounds great. Listen, that's another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast with Dave Cole. Be sure to head on over to our website at davecole.com to learn more about our past episodes and to learn more about marketing for real estate in various aspects. Please subscribe to our podcast on Apple, iTunes, or Google Play, or any podcatcher service of your choice. And if you like what you're hearing and you think we've got some good ideas for you, please leave a rating on the podcast. That really helps us reach new people, and we really appreciate it. That's a wrap for this week. Bye for now.